What's up, everybody? This is Rome. This is Sources from the Sofa. Back from a little break, more or less, ever since the World Cup. We recapped that last week, and there has been nothing really going on unless you want to count the WNBA All-Star Weekend. We can talk about that if you guys want. But there was a little F1 action today. Looks like I did pretty well calling out who's going to win. I feel pretty good about that. I got a prediction for the rest of the season as well. We learned some news on a makeup track and potential makeup tracks for the rest of the season in case other races, including the last two in the Middle East, get canceled out. And then more importantly, or maybe not more importantly, I don't know, but I didn't want to talk about it right away. And that's LeBron going to Philly. Aaron, you had him going to Miami. Jason, I don't remember what you had him going to.
I had him go to Philly, obviously.
Nice.
I thought I had him going to Philly, Rome. I don't remember.
Oh, no. You were pretty adamant on the Miami train last time we signed off.
I don't remember. I mean, no, I know Jason leaked that Miami story on YouTube or whatever.
Threw everybody
it was.
Off.
And then everybody went, 60% on the Kalshi Pauly market. And I was like, you know what? This is a little look this way, go the other way. So yeah. I knew it was a little crossover move there.
A little cross. There's like some theories online. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would have said, I'll be honest with him, I was gonna say Miami. It felt like there was a lot of news swirling around, like, you know, Pat Riley and LeBron, like, you know, patch things up, and, you know, they got, you know, they can't really do much flexibility with Giannis and all this type of stuff. And I don't know, it felt there was gonna be a more calculated, you know, the way LeBron does everything is pretty calculated, and there's a story and narrative kind of behind everything. Like, he's got a whole thing, you know. It was going to college, going to Miami, and he had to learn how to win, and then it was going back home, and then it was going to the Lakers with the, you know, historic of the NBA and this and that. So it felt like if this was gonna be his last dance, it was gonna be like, oh, I'm going back home for the third time to put this team over the top again, or I'm going back to Miami to restore something. But yeah, I didn't think this story was there for the 76ers until I started reading. I think the entire organization is represented by Clutch Sports.
Basically, yeah. The reason why I was rooting for Philly is because out of all the options, that seemed like to be the sexiest one and with the most talent. The one that made more basketball sense, at least to me, I think me and Aaron talked about it at one point, was the Minnesota Timberwolves. That or the San Antonio Spurs, who would have been a great cog. If they, like, say the Spurs had LeBron James just for the final 5 minutes in any one of those games against the Knicks, they're NBA champions right now. That's pretty much, you know, that's a done deal. It might be even a sweep, but they're missing that final piece. Minnesota, great talent. Ant, Gobert, they got shooters, they got defenders, they got, like, the whole mix. They're knocking on the door for NBA championship if it wasn't for the Spurs and the length of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Outside of that, though, Miami has no flexibility. They only have Giannis, but nothing else. Cleveland, they looked really promising a couple years ago.
Hey, they do have Bam. He did score 83 points this year, Rome, in a game. So don't.
That's an asterisk. I don't count that game.
Half of that was at the free throw line.
That's another rigged NBA game
in the regular season.
Bam is talented, but he's not a bona fide, you know, superstar.
He's out here beating up on white boys like me and Jason in Vegas. What the hell's up with that, dude?
I think you're dismissing Bam. He's not a superstar, but I think he is a star.
He's good, yeah.
And if when you pair him and Giannis in the front court, you're talking about guys down low that are basically clearing the four or five for anyone, for shooters and everything like that. So it would have been, I would say, somewhat of a fit for LeBron, because he wouldn't have had to play the four, wouldn't have had to play down low, which, you know, over his career doesn't seem like he enjoys playing that physical type of game. He could have been more to the perimeter and had the ball in his hands and stuff in Miami. But I mean, ultimately, they're putting something together special in Philly, and that's where he went. I think the most curious thing for him is I saw that, yeah, he's not even going to live in Philly. He's going to take a helicopter from New York City to Philly. It's like a 45-minute
bro, just stay with the helicopters.
Hey, we've seen what happened to one.
We don't need another one. Yeah.
Bad weather happens out there, man.
Especially
trust the
in
process,
New York.
Rome. Trust the process. We've heard it for about 10 years. Finally, I think the process has finally got an exclamation point, and we're getting towards the end of that.
Well, Philly's really interesting. The only problem is everybody that's on their team is like a bona fide, like they're entering their prime, or they're in their prime, or they're becoming a superstar, and they have high usage rate, and there's only one basketball. I think Rachel Nichols, which I remember, Jason, you had a big old crush on Rachel Nichols back in the controversy days. I'm like, who's that? And then I finally watched sports and I'm like, hey, that's Rachel Nichols.
Jason, you're bringing it back, man. Be careful.
Oh, Jason's like, okay, that's your type. All right. I respect it.
Your wife doesn't listen to the show anymore. They're not on YouTube, right, Jason?
Probably not.
No, she does. She was interested in our conversation.
Well, she'll be mad at Rome this week, so that's fine. I'll let that go.
She was interested in our conversation about you know our local establishment that we go to. You know, she was curious, Aaron, that you go to dine there as well too.
Oh, Cisco's.
At Cisco,
so she caught that, basically, huh?
Well, she's a big fan of that restaurant. Okay. She's like, Aaron just goes to Cisco by himself. I'm like, yeah, it's you know one of the places you probably get sources.
I'm VIP
at, you know?
Over there, dude. I'm VIP.
What a fucking tangent! All right, I totally got lost. All right,
you went on Rachel Nichols saying that's Jason's quote unquote side piece. I don't know what that's all about. And then, you know, we brought up Cisco. So maybe, if Rachel Nichols wants to hang out at Cisco's, we'd be down for that.
She is
anytime
married,
to do a little one on one interviews.
Yeah, no, she's aging really gracefully, though. Goddamn. Anyway, she had like a really cool stat.
I heard she might be at Circa Rome, just for FYI.
She might be, actually, yeah.
That's what I heard.
Jason's going to be there again. She had a stat, if you add everyone's usage rate, it ends up being 160-something%. Kind of an issue there. It's funny because you have Jaylen Brown, right? Carried that Celtics team for much of the season until Tatum came back. Didn't want to be second fiddle. Went off on Twitch. Now he's on Philly. Well, dude, now he might be playing third or fourth fiddle because he has younger guys hungrier than him, more eager than him, plus LeBron's in there, a couple clutch guys. You made that connection. Bob Myers, I think, might have played a pretty big part in this because he's the architect behind the Golden State years. Now he is the president at Philly with the Harris Sports Group. Someone finally made the connection too, whereas LeBron wants to be an owner. So they were talking about like oil with the Mavs and different connections. Harris Group is a pretty big sports entertainment company. And so maybe this is also part of the move where LeBron's kind of shaking and greasing the wheels for a future ownership spot for like the Vegas team. We already know that's going to go for $10 billion or the future Seattle team. What, we're like 2 or 3 years out from that because the NBA Europe is going to be starting off next year. Lots of different connections. I don't know how it's going to work. People were saying that with the addition of Jaylen Brown, Philly was going to be NBA championship contenders this year. Now with LeBron, now they're doubling down on that. We've seen super stacked teams, including like the Lakers when they signed Gary Payton and Karl Malone. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But it's a 2-year deal, $8 million, $4 million a piece, plus a player option for a third year. So
the player options for the 30. I wasn't sure that was for the third year.
So that's pretty crazy. So he's thinking about this for a 3-year contract. That's pretty wild because what is he entering year 24? That'd be 25, 26.
He's a year or two older than us, right, guys? He's 41 or 42?
42? I think he's 42.
I thought it was a year older than us, but yeah, either way, though, pretty wild. It's pretty crazy. Considering some of his statement was kind of like, really wasn't sure if he was going to play, and I know it's saying something like that, but yeah, it probably just depends on like what this season kind of looks like. But you know, I'd imagine it's more than one because I feel like he would more.
Well,
he's gonna have the goodbye tour.
He's having a goodbye tour. He's filming a documentary, so he's gonna be doing like a Michael Jordan type thing for the next final two or three years. One thing I found interesting too. He had an adjustment becoming the third fiddle with the Lakers this year. Now the Snowtime Lakers, and now he joins a stacked Philly team, at least from the top down. And like, he's still going to be the third or fourth fiddle in there as well. Who knows?
What did you just call the Lakers?
The Snowtime Lakers.
Okay.
The all white team. So he goes from an all white squad to an all black squad in the city of brotherly love.
You know, I'm not a Laker fan, Rome, but I might have to root for those guys because, you know, no one thinks the white team can win in the
NBA.
It's
a talented white boy team. No one has done it, so I'm curious how it's going to turn out.
I mean, if they get a top four seed in the West, I think it's pretty good for an all-white team in the West.
Jason McIntyre is predicting a number 3 seed for them.
I always fade J-Mac. I fade him.
Yeah, that sounds bad for the Lakers to get that endorsement.
I will say top 5 seed for sure.
We'll see if they can stay healthy. There's a lot of potential if they can stay healthy.
Big issue.
They got a lot of guys that get hurt.
That's a lot of potential. I've heard that word a lot. So LeBron, do you guys like the signing with him going to Philly over Miami, over Cleveland? I really don't think Cleveland was like a really big option to begin with, just because they have Harden, a lot of ball control stuff too as well. And then plus, well,
Harden's not signed yet, is he?
He did not sign. I think it was for them to make some room, but they didn't make any other acquisitions or trades after that. But one thing about Cleveland, though, someone pointed out on X, like, why would he go back? Because here he went back and won the chip, and that was kind of like a good homecoming. Why would he ruin that for like a third time? And that actually, like, that clicked a lot. I'm not sure if LeBron was waiting for a team to make another move. Supposedly, Jaylen Brown going to Philly, that's what really moved the needle for them. Plus, he's like homeboys with one of the young superstars there, clutch guy as well. Pretty unique.
Maxi?
Yeah.
I don't know who all the clutch guys are, but yeah.
Yeah, and then KCP's going to be going back there too.
Yeah, I saw that he's going there.
Yeah. You guys dig it? You guys love it? You guys think it improves their odds? You still got New York there. Who knows what Indiana? You know, Indiana would have made sense too, though. That would have been a nice pickup, but Indiana's not sexy at all. No way.
He's going to Indiana. No. No, for LeBron, we signed him for the veterans minimum. You know, there's a ton of talent there. They're going to be great without LeBron. So you're adding, you know, one of the greats of all time. It's to your question, Rome, like, there's only one ball, a lot of ball dominated people. Where is he going to fit in, except kind of what role? But I mean, at the same time, it's about getting this thing ready for the postseason, because how many games does Joel Embiid play? How many games does LeBron play? And so it's like, it's going to be one of those offenses, like, do all five guys get in the lineup, or is it all kind of on Maxey and Brown? And I forgot the other young guy's name that's pretty good on that team, that thing you're thinking about.
What do they call him? VJ? Yeah. VJ, I believe his initials.
Yeah. But, you know, I think you're going to get into a thing where, you know, during the regular season, you know, we're not going to know kind of what this thing looks like and what's going to be the ramp to get this team ready for the playoffs. What are the Celtics going to look like? Yeah. Edgecombe, that's what it is.
He's really good.
Yeah, I like him.
But, I mean, what do the Celtics kind of look like? The Celtics are really good last year without Tatum. And, you know, I know your guy Simmons and all the Boston people don't love, you know, the Jaylen Brown trade with Paul George and stuff. But the Celtics make weird things. I mean, the Celtics make weird things work. So, I mean, I'm not completely dismissing them as being a team that's out there, too. They know they got to recalibrate whatever they had. You know, it's all 3 points or nothing the last, you know, couple seasons. And it gave them a great regular season. But if they weren't shooting well, cool, they're out in the first round. The Knicks, I guess, bringing everybody back for the most part and just kind of run this back. So it's up there. Miami, I mean, the East is going to be more competitive. But
yeah,
I think Vegas odds prove this. Hey, Philly's now, I think they're the favorites, right, Aaron, in the East?
I think they're tied with New York.
Yeah, what were they? I think it's New York and then, what do they have, the fifth best title odds, I think, Philly does to win? Behind New York, OKC, San Antonio, somewhere in that mix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for LeBron, Rome, like you said, going where he went, Minnesota may have been good from a basketball sense, but getting out of the West and going to the East, I think, is his best path, because, man, you're just going to run up against Oklahoma City and San Antonio, and everyone can say what they want about those two particular teams. Oklahoma City wasn't healthy during the playoffs, and then, you know, San Antonio, this was kind of their introduction to the playoff year, and they made it all the way to the finals, and so I don't think this is out the realm of possibility that these are basically the 1-2 seed in the Western Conference and everyone else is just a notch below and they're just have to be extraordinarily lucky. Where in the East, I mean, you're just kind of wide open. Like, no one was really talking about the Knicks. They were kind of one, you know, that was about it. But then, hey, Boston was going to make a run, or, you know, Cleveland had a good start to the season. You know, the Pistons meander around a little bit. And so I think it just becomes wide open where, hey, Philly's got a lot of good guys. Can they figure out a way to make it work? They'll probably have a good regular season record, because if they don't play everyone, they're still gonna be able to win a lot of games. And so where does it then match up in the playoffs and how they're playing?
Yeah, they still got the two young guys. So it's Maxey, Edgecombe, Brown. I imagine they're going to probably play a majority of the games. Joel Embiid, he needs to get healthy. And I know he's been pretty bulky, a little bit on the heavier side. Does he play more than 50 games? Does LeBron even get close to the 60 games that he played this past year with the Lakers? I'm kind of curious if you can do like an over-under on combined games played on 100 games for them too for the season.
I'd go under.
See how they look going to the playoffs, right? You would go under?
Well, yeah, I mean, Embiid, I mean, what is Embiid averaging?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Can we look that up real quick?
I had the number. It's like he's played like 62 or 67 games over the last 2 years. Like it's a weird life. Number.
Oh, dude, that's bad.
So, but yeah, I think LeBron, he'll get 60, 65 games in. For me, I'm not worried about Embiid missing time because, look, Embiid missed a ton of time. Paul George was suspended 25 games last year because of, was it steroid use or whatever he was doing?
Paul George?
So, yeah, he was suspended 25 games.
Yeah.
For some kind of drug test. He failed some kind of drug test. And his team still finished in the seventh seed. Now they have Jaylen Brown, Maxey. I think, and look, they got a really good coach. Nick Nurse is underrated. He's
really
a very good coach. He's a really good coach. He won in Toronto. He's kind of made some stuff work there in Philadelphia. I agree. I think Minnesota, from a basketball standpoint, would have been really good. But like Jason said, get out of the West. LeBron James, I mean, look, outside of the COVID year, had never been to the NBA Finals when he was in the West. In the East, it's he's been to, what, like 8 or 9 NBA Finals?
Yeah, in a row.
Obviously, right now, Cleveland's getting weaker. I mean, we'll see if they sign Harden, but they've lost some role players. You know, we should have saw this all coming, right? Philadelphia signed D-Wade, the white version, D-Wade, and now he's in Philadelphia. So we should have saw the writing on the wall just off that alone.
Cleveland's weird because they were really – they surprised us all 2 years ago, but I think it's just a mental thing. There's something wrong there mentally because Kenny Atkins, he's a hell of a coach, dude. He improved them, like, what, so much in year one. He thought they might take another jump in year two, but it kind of hit a wall again in the playoffs. They just
– I don't know why they traded and got rid of Darius Garland for Harden. Good.
I mean, I get
they didn't want to spend maybe the money, do like a max like the Lakers did with Reeves and give him like $200 million, 180 nice. Because if he's had some foot problems and whatever he's got going on. But you never, in my opinion, trade in a top-notch young guard for a veteran that's basically on the downside of his career. To me, that makes no sense. And you saw in the playoffs, look, Harden got exposed. I mean, he's been exposed his whole career in the playoffs, but it hurt him. It hurt him bad.
Soft.
They were the one seed the year before Rome, like you mentioned, and look at they ran into Indiana. Indiana was just on fire. Indiana couldn't miss. They beat the Knicks. It went on. Indiana, I think, is a wild card in the East. But, yeah, I think Philly's easily a top four team in the East, without a doubt, unless major injuries happen. But
so
I don't see why they don't finish in the top four.
Embiid played 38 games last year.
And LeBron, you said, played, what, 60?
I think he played 64. Just under 65. I don't know the exact number.
So that pitch you right there at that.
That's
one,
right at there. That'd be a fun bet. If we can make that bet.
I would take the under. I mean, yeah. you can give us some odds on it, Rome. We can do something with it.
We'll find out circa if we can do that. Maybe that's like a poly.
I'll go, bet we'll go
or,
there.
A bet. Yeah.
Might as well put it on the poly market. Sources from the sofa. Open bet. Over under. LeBron Embiid bets. 100 and a half.
We could actually offer our own bets on one of the platforms, actually. We got time to set it up. Maybe we should do that. Yeah.
I'll say under 100 and a half games. We'll go minus 125. Let's get some juice on that. Minus 125, and we'll go plus 105 the other way at over.
Interesting.
100 and a half games. So you can put that on there for Calshi or Bali Market.
All right. When it was announced finally, I think I was listening to the Dan Patrick show that Thursday morning or Friday, and Fritzy was singing a song for LeBron to sign with the team. And then minutes later, that's when they broke the news. So they were joking. That's the song that, you know, moved a LeBron to make a decision. I wasn't surprised at all. I wasn't. Were you guys surprised? Scale 1 through 10. Was it like high shock value, not shock value?
I would say medium shock value. I think it wasn't like a team completely out of nowhere. I just think it wasn't one of the favorites. Miami, I think, had all the juice because of, you know, some of the stuff going out there with, like I just said, like social media stuff that I talked about. And then there was just talking. I think Riley was kind of in the media talking about, like, you know, fences have been mended and is what it is, blah, blah, blah. So they were definitely making a play. But I think Philly had been mentioned. I just don't know how, like, real it kind of was. And then the Golden State thing never seemed to kind of die down, even though that was kind of it didn't seem like it had a ton of steam posted. I know that was kind of like the consensus during the end of the season, but I don't think that gained a ton of steam. So I don't think it was completely surprised. I would have been more shocked if, you know, what your guys suggested, where it was like Minnesota, or, you know, Rome, you just said Indiana, or hell, if he went to the Bulls for some strange reason or something like that, it would have been like a shocking thing to me. So I don't know. He was obviously going to a contender. That's what everyone said. He's going some player. He's going to win. I guess the more shocking thing to me, in not knowing, not looking at any of the cap stuff about this, where this guy had, you know, LeBron had taken max money everywhere. And now he's to the point where, is he taking a veteran's minimum for this to sign?
Yeah.
And so that was a little bit surprising to me, I'd say, where, I mean, even remember when he went to Miami, they did the sign and trade and everything. And then they were able to get, you know, the bigger contracts out of that. So, I think that was a little bit the interesting price there, where it's like, hey, he's going to take a veteran's minimum. So this is all in on winning the fifth ring.
I think the problem is just this second apron stuff just really screwed up how the market works, and all the rules are just backwards. So there really, anyone who had cap space to sign up for more money wasn't an attractive option for him. And anyone who is a good option doesn't have the space for it either. So either way, it was like probably like a little harsh reality for him to kind of, you know, unless people move players and tough contracts, he was not going to be getting even close to the same money he was making. But for him to, you know, I guess he wants to be accepted a little more than when he was accepted down in LA, but basically kind of accepting maybe the same, if not a lesser role with the Philadelphia 76ers and for less money. That is what's surprising to me. That's a little shocking. So
$4 million is not a lot of money, Rome, because remember, everybody was trying to get what, 13, 15 million. People are saying maybe 8 or 9 is not enough. Well, now he's got a 2-year deal for $8 million total. I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm about a 4. I think coming into it, I think the Warriors were his first choice, but that was contingent on them getting Anthony Davis.
Once the Wizards
scrapped that, they had no chance. I think the other option was in Cleveland, the hometown story, like you guys touched on. But I think they went back and looked how bad Cleveland got whipped by the Knicks, and we were just were like, dude, like, I, and they're losing players, not a good fit. Minnesota, we mentioned, yeah, they can go in the West, but still, even if LeBron goes there, are they the third best team in the West? Probably, because the OKC and San Antonio are the top two teams, and both those teams got better in the offseason too, through the draft and other acquisitions. And then Philly got Jaylen Brown, and that kind of made LeBron, I think, pause and go like, wait, I like Maxey. I like, you know, VJ. I like Brown. What can we get out of Embiid? You got a championship coach, like we mentioned, in Nick Nurse, and a whole new kind of like GM management group going on in Philadelphia. And look, Philadelphia hasn't won an NBA title since what, going back to what, Dr. J days, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 70s.
So, hey, man, I mean, I think it's a good fit for him. Obviously, he's going to have to perform there because Philadelphia fans, they don't care who you are. You got to ball out. You got to deliver. If not, they will let you know about it. And maybe LeBron needs that now. You know, Laker fans never really embraced him. I think Philadelphia will embrace him. They're all about, hey, winning.
Let's see
what happens.
I tweeted this when the news came out. LeBron was pretty supportive, or like he loved the Philadelphia fans over the last couple of years, because even though they kind of talk shit on him, they gave him standing ovations for having great performances. And he's like, you know what, I really appreciate this fan base, because they're still going to give you shit, but they just like their team, like their home team no matter what, but they still show me some love. I think that actually meant a lot as well. So he's going to the city of brotherly love. We'll see how it turns out. Basketball's still far away, but before that though, we have NFL, so I'm excited for that, but not yet. Any final comments before we take a quick break and transition over to F1? Do you guys have any comments to the WNBA All-Stars? You guys catch that?
I'll be honest, I did not know what was going on, Rome.
Nice. Solid, guys.
That's your lane. That's your beat.
I just remember four players not participating in the three-point contest and some other stuff.
I'm getting a little tired of like the Caitlin Clark, you know, bashing like their commissioner. She's out after this year. I did not watch it. I've not watched a full game this year
yet.
Isn't
Adam Silver kind of the real commissioner behind the scenes of that league?
I don't. Is that a good sign?
I don't know.
I it doesn't feel like it. And if he is, like, he's just got whoever, I forgot the commissioner's name for WNBA. She's just out there as just taking all the bullets and everything. But then
we talked about this.
What, 2 weeks ago or last week, about, you know, the Dan Patrick Show like fiasco and her not taking questions and just the what during their CBA negotiations and where things are at and, you know, the different stuff about Caitlin Clark. The good thing for the WNBA is, like, I think it's at a reputation. We're talking about things that are in the mainstream media. That's like, hey, this is a
hey, the fact they're getting shitted on right now is probably a good thing because they've kind of made it.
Right. I mean, you're 25 years into this league, or 26 years since the league first started, or even longer than that. I think it'd be 30 years or something at this point.
Them and the MLS, very similar.
Yeah, but I mean, now you're to the point where, like, hey, like, this is we're gonna talk about this stuff on talk shows, and it may be on First Take. I don't know, maybe Stephen A. talked about it, but you're gonna talk about the things that matter. Where, like, you weren't gonna talk about the collective bargaining agreement with the WNBA 10 years ago. Like, this is a big story, and you're talking about, you know, there's stars in the league that trend on different platforms and everything like that now too. So it's graduated to another level in this country.
Yeah. I will say, someone did a dirty chop up on, like, Instagram. I think it's called Brick Center. It's on X and, like, Instagram, showing the highlights of the All-Star game. And it's just like bad layups, bad air balls.
But dude, they got like 113 points, didn't they?
It was a high scoring game still.
Yeah.
And they showed a few missed loss because some girl dunked in the game as well. Dominique, she's with the Liberty, I think.
How many women have actually dunked in the WNBA? Is it up to 5 or 10 now?
I just know of Lisa Leslie. That's about
Lisa
it.
Lisa Leslie was the first one,
Candace,
right?
Parker, I think she did it one time.
Yeah.
That's about it, man. That's it. Everyone hasn't been, like,
lanky. What about this girl? You said this girl, what, Dominique?
Yeah, she's dunked, I guess, in practice. I guess she does, like, alley-oops in practice, but not, like, in a game. This was an official game, but that got, like, a lot of love. Even though they throw, like, a lot of bad lobs. Caitlin Clark has some pretty big threes, but that's about it, though.
Look, if there's no girls can dunk, then there's not going to be you're not practicing lobs.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's just the bottom line. I remember when I played AAU ball, we were practicing lobs at 14, 15 years old, the guys that could dunk. So yeah, there's a big difference.
Big difference. All right, let's take a quick break. Come back. Let's talk a little F1. All right, we are back to talk a little F1. Today we're recording Sunday night, by the way, Sunday late night, so we're gonna be upping our average for Sunday night recordings because of today, because Jason was talking shit last time.
We literally record just tonight just because I was talking shit in the last pod about not recording.
The East Coast people might not count. It was about 1 a.m. New York time.
So the Hungarian Grand Prix was today. Fun race, lots of excitement, more penalties. Hamilton just keeps on getting hammered, and he has some pretty choice comments about how they're just handing out, like, free tickets. I think that's what he said after the race, because he got hit. That cost him, I think, he went from fourth or fifth, or, like, third or fifth?
He went fourth down to fifth.
Yeah, so
and then he even started the race from a penalty in the qualifying session, too, that he had P2 out of qualifying and was hit a three-place grid penalty.
I would love for you to explain what Hamilton's getting hit with, because now this is like a few times he's been hit with speeding too much in the pit. With this, like, the third race or three out of the last four races, he's been hit with at least 5 or 10 seconds. I think, like, he got hit with a 10-second one-on-one race. And I don't know. Where do you want to start with the Hungarian Grand Prix? Because our guy, Norris, finally wins. The McLaren car looking nice. Those upgrades, they kind of made adjustments from the last race now to this one. Looking like a really, really, really pretty
One driver gets a
good
upgrades. The other one gets a gearbox that can't finish the race. But
he was doing good this race too, though. He was doing fine.
He was.
He had like a little bump and grind with Carlos Sainz. Not good. Didn't see the blue flags. I heard there was a lot of issues with that. With this race. Like, oh, if you guys don't know, if they don't do those blue flags, this is what happens, because apparently no one was paying attention. That kind of fucked him up, and then he was in second, and his gearbox goes out. He's done. He retires. Russell, he had some more trouble, right, in this race?
Off the start, to put it in, like, auto die mode or something on the start. He just went from,
first to 20th, right?
Yeah, he was in 20th by turn one. It was like the anti-gridlock mode or something like that.
Yeah, man. I guess let's just start off with Lando, defending champion, finally wins his first race of the season, looking really good. He's had quite a few podiums, so he's still in the mix, top five driver right now, and points-wise in the Drivers' Championship. Finally puts it all together with all the upgrades. How did he win this? And what happened? Why was it so much better than the last one?
Yeah, I think starting with qualifying, he got a little bit of a gift in qualifying because there was another, I think, Verstappen spin out that caused some yellow flags, and Lewis didn't get to get a second lap in on the final qualifying to improve his time, and so he was able to start on pole. And I mean, Lando's looked good in the past couple of races. This McLaren car starting to get a little racier. It's got the Mercedes engine that the Mercedes Works team, like, obviously had done so much. And the McLaren team made their name in the last regulations in the ground effect era on, finding the best aerodynamic packages on that. And while this car is not solely dependent on the aero, it was only a matter of time until this team figured out, the power and everything that goes with the car. And I just think the McLaren team just started to take another step up, which I think a lot of people expected they would. And you saw it early in the race because you had Lando and Oscar being fairly dominant, especially in the clean air. Lando looks the fastest even throughout the race when Oscar was ahead. Lando was basically kind of saying, get out of the way. Like, I'm faster than Oscar. And when he got in the clean air, he really proved it. And so, yeah, like you said, Rome, defending world champion, I think finally getting a hang of what this car is going to be. And while McLaren maybe taking, 10 races to kind of figure it out exactly where they're at without the, some reliability things and just not putting the pieces together in those first 5-6 races or whatever it was, I think things are starting to click where it's just more of a threat to the dominance that really was Mercedes overall, and kind of clicking right at the heels of Ferrari at this point. And going for kind of the second best team on the grid. So, but I mean, yeah, I think both cars were clicking. The gearbox piece, though, I don't know if they actually clarified it after the race, because there was some speculation that it was Oscar's fault on the gearbox, that he had gone over
somebody from the engineer room flipped the switch, right? The old flip
it
the
was,
switch.
I mean, they were talking about some of the curbs that are in Budapest, and I think in some of these tracks are like that. The curbs all look nice and flat, and they hit them and stuff. But if you ground this thing out at a certain point, there was some talk that he hit some of these curbs in the bottom. Because I think there was some communication to Lando as far as like, hey, keep everything on the track because there's potential. This is what happened to Oscar with the gearbox as far as like grounding these things out and some of the curbs around the track, because they're very pressing about I think the audio message at his thing was like, Lando, kind of enough. You've proved your point type thing. Now, like, back it off. Because he was out front just going through it. Like, no one was even close to him once he checked out.
What happened, though? Because didn't Lando have to give up his position to Piastri at one point in the race?
He lost it in the beginning.
Yeah.
Right in the front. Like,
I did see the first lap, yeah.
Yeah, down into turn one. I mean, yeah, George obviously was peeling back. Charles didn't have the greatest of starts. So Lewis and Charles were kind of right there. Oscar obviously got a great start. And so it was a shuffle going down into turn one. And then once Oscar got preferential, in the line, once you're the lead car, you get the preferential pit stop. But Lando went a little long on that first pit to be able to get some more tires. And then from there, you mentioned the Carlos Sainz incident for Oscar once he kind of got back into the shuffle, got behind some of these lap cars, and there was kind of that incident with Oscar, slowed him down, and so through the pit cycle, it just didn't happen for Oscar at that point, which obviously he was in kind of no words. But yeah, you mentioned the blue flags. I guess throughout the track, the blue lights that are out there are just going everywhere, and so I think the drivers had no idea. Like,
yeah, dude, how does Sainz miss that? Like,
well, I don't think it was Sainz. I think in the post race, they're basically saying like the lead lap guys were like getting blue lights when they were going too, and so they're saying like, hey, I'm battling for the lead right now. Why is this thing telling me to blue flag it, let somebody by?
So it looked like honestly, it was just going off for like 30 straight laps. I don't think they turned them off every time they kept showing them, because the announcers was like, oh man, the blue flags. The engineers got to be on there telling them, check your mirrors and all this stuff. But there could have been a lot more incidents. I mean, Sainz, Piastri was one. But there are so many guys that weren't like letting lead guys. I mean, Kimi, Lewis, they got all behind these guys. That allowed Verstappen to really get back in the mix and get back to second as well. So yeah, the blue flag was an issue.
It's not a wide track either. And that's the other thing, you know, for signs and stuff, as these guys were getting, the leaders were getting dumped out into traffic where things are at, you know, and if you're getting passed and you're supposed to let somebody by, you're trying to get them in a certain point of thing where you slow, you know, if your signs, you kind of pull over, but he was with another car at that moment. So he's kind of battling for position himself too. That was where they're getting to the end of the race, because the leaders were lapping cars that were in the points. And so it was like the Audi and the Racing Bulls at that point. So you got to get out of the way, but you're also battling for position and points too. And so that's where the goofy thing of F1 is, like, hey, you're supposed to just give the play, you know, let them pass you by. But depending on where they hit you in the track, it's not always the most convenient thing. In this track particularly, like I said, not a lot of great places to pass. You didn't see the electrical stuff happen in this track because there's just a ton of like slow moving turns where the regeneration of the battery was pretty easily. So when you got to the two kind of bigger stretches in this court, in the track, you know, everyone had full batteries because they're able to charge a ton in this lap. They're not just running, you know, the battery, although draining it down, you're able to recharge pretty quickly. And so that led a lot of kind of the inability to kind of use that boost mode to pass in a lot of the main stretch and stuff, where I think were people looking into turn one.
So Lando finishes first, Verstappen second, Antonelli gets third to increase his lead over both Hamilton and Russell. Russell drops down to seventh.
If I didn't tell you, Rome, or if you didn't look, that Verstappen finished second, and you just listened to this guy bitch about this fucking car the whole race,
all weekend,
you would have thought he DNF'd at some point. Like,
dude,
literally,
this is
just
one of his
like
better races, and he still complained a lot. Yeah.
Basically just think, this is a piece of shit. Get me out of this. I don't know what the fuck you people are doing.
Complaints and that was
like all weekend, all weekend, early in this race. And then he you guys said, he finished his second. He's like, I really don't know. I'm just happy to be here. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, this car sucks, but yeah, here I am.
It was a big gap, dude. 15 seconds of Verstappen, him and Antonelli are pretty close. Another big gap to Leclerc and Hamilton.
Oh, I mean, once Lando got out there, like I said, it was there. But I mean, Max had some good. I mean, he passed Lewis going into turn one. That was almost a wreck early in the race. I don't think Lewis expected him to kind of just, you know, send it at that point, and it got really tighter on there. So, but man, it was hilarious with Max in this car at this point. I'm leaning more this guy just is not an F1 next year. I think that is just where I am almost sitting. I just don't know. I just can't picture him going back to Red Bull, and I honestly just don't know what team really wants him at this point.
Does he give up all that money, though? Does he give up all that money?
Well, he's going to be making money either way.
I he's to a point now. When you look at what he's done with the endurance races, when he did I think he did the Nürburgring and some of these other stuff where he's done, like, they got like record viewership and all this stuff of him going out there. So he's kind of built this name now in the racing world that he's going to bring eyeballs to whatever other circuits and type of racing he does. So
like in the F1 movie, Sonny, he just likes to race
Sonny
different
Hayes.
Type of tracks. Yeah. That's what Verstappen, I kind of see, like, he can just jump from track to track.
Does Verstappen step away for a year or two and then come back? Or is if he steps away, he doesn't come back?
I'm honestly leaning he comes back, but I honestly do think he steps away because I think he hates these regulations, which a lot of people
hates
do.
The new cars.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, the new cars. So yeah. I know there's obviously going to make changes next year. And so does he kind of look back and see, you know, gives it next year and sees what's happened? Maybe there's an opportunity the year after that. I mean, Max is still young. And if he wants to do it, I mean, you look at these drivers now, it's not like back in the day where these guys got 5-6 years and,
right,
you know, the legends are kind of out and people were, you know, back in the day, guys were dying, you know, just because of how dangerous this sport was.
Yeah.
And now you got Lewis and Fernando Alonso well into their 40s who aren't giving up anytime soon. And, you know, I think there's an opportunity to come back. Even like greats like Michael Schumacher, like he retired and then he came back and helped launch kind of this Mercedes team for a few years. And, you know, he wasn't dominant like he was in his era, but he came back. And I just think Max is young enough where he can pick and choose his team and just be that kind of this looming massive free agent where, hey, I can take away. He's got a new baby that he had this last year and then just figure out what he wants to do. But the more I listen to him every week, I'm like, this guy does not want to be an F1. He is just over this.
Like, he hates his job. Dude, you could tell when someone hates their job.
I don't think he said one positive thing in the last 2 months.
Yeah.
No.
Like, they're going to show up, but they hate every second of it.
Just has no fucks to give. He knows I'm the best. These people are idiots. There's I'm going to lose to everyone, including you guys on this, but are you familiar with the wrestler CM Punk?
A little bit.
Okay, so CM Punk famously, you know, left WWE, had all this controversy, comes back to professional wrestling and goes to All Elite Wrestling. So it's the secondary right. wrestling company. And he famously had a blow up in AEW as well, too. And there was a post pay-per-view press conference that was basically real life, and he's sitting up there all beat to shit, and he's like, I'm tired, beat up, and I work with fucking children. And it was next to the owner of the company, that's basically what Max is just like. I just like, I'm tired of this, I hate this car, you know, I don't like any of the team, everyone has left Red
that
Bull.
That press conference got so much publicity though, like it made all the major channels mainstream, even CNN covered it, like that's how of a big deal it was with CNN Punk.
Yep. So that's where just you feel with Max on this point. I mean, like I said, we talked in a couple of these episodes. Is it McLaren to Mercedes I talked through? But at this point, I think the more likeliest thing is like, hey, he's just not going to come back, and he'll take a few years and figure out where things are assessed. But I mean, going into the bigger portion of this race, George Russell, man. I mean, that was you just. For everything Max is going through now, George is going through it too, because you have this car that was supposed to be dominant. And anything that can go wrong every weekend for this guy is just gone.
Did you hear what Lando said about him?
I didn't, no.
They were asking him about, like, you know, oh, you've had your share of, you know, troubles with McLaren. Like, what do you have to say with what Russell's going through? Because Russell, you know, changed his driving style a little bit, but it's not his driving style. It's the car, right? And Lando said something to the effect, I'm paraphrasing here, it's like, my car has never worked with my driving, so I've had to change it every race, every year. So I don't, you know, he's not like you either learn or you don't. Maybe you're just not good enough to race in F1 if you're having trouble.
It's fair. I said that in a pod earlier this year where George is coming out saying, like, ah, you know, Monaco, it's not my best track. Miami, not my best track. This track doesn't suit
the rich
my driving.
Boys coming
like,
out.
Yeah, and it's just like that's where he's, you know, he's kind of just. You know, the spoiled, maybe even Karen, you know, just kind of complaining about everything to a certain point that goes through. It's like, man, like you got the most dominant car and you're getting worked, you know, by, you know, the 19 year old prodigy. Now, in his defense, we talked about the last pod, something was fucking wrong with his car.
Yeah.
And they finally, Mercedes, you know, since we recorded last pod, like dug in, they did reveal they found something.
Some kind of code issue, right?
Yeah, with the straight line speed and so, but it obviously didn't help in this race, and so the car still ain't great, but he's still not meshed into the car too, and so there's just a lot of questions. And I think the best thing kind of for George, I would say right now, is that if McLaren starts to get a little racy, and you know, if Max is going to continue to potentially like haul this piece of crap Red Bull that he's going to do, you know, to some points. I mean, Kimi's not going to get the lion's share of like, hey, he's just going to dominate, win everything, 25 points, and he's going to, you know, cook everyone back. I mean, he able to extend his lead in this race or in the championship by only 5 points. And so if other people are winning or some other stuff, I mean, that's the only thing maybe kind of keeping George, you know, within kind of a fighting distance if he can go on a run. But I mean, you got Lewis 50 points back. I think George is 59 points back. And so those are kind of the only two. Lando and Charles and Max got a lot of ground to make up.
Yeah.
A lot of ground to make up. They're going to have a hell of a second half. And then the other thing, before we got to the pod, like, I don't know how many races are left. That's the other thing, because you got this uncertainty.
I have our answer.
Okay. Well, how many races are left, Jerome?
All right. So how many races are in the year total?
24 is the traditional schedule.
All right. So the contracts with all the media rights,
22 F1, for the right for the media
F1
rights.
Has to have at least 22 active races. Yes. So the fact that two already got canceled and today was announced that they got a makeup. So it's still going to be Bahrain, but at Malaysia. So Bahrain still wants credit. They're footing a lot of the bill.
All the bill,
still,
I believe.
Yeah, they're still going to get a lot of revenue out of it. Malaysia's going to get a little piece. It's a track that was already going to be used next season. I guess they're going to be doing some renovations, but no race has been there for, what, 5-6 years at least?
Maybe 2017.
That's what it is. So with the wars going on, Qatar and Abu Dhabi might get canceled as well. Who knows? There's a lot of things kind of moving back in the wrong direction right now. As long as they make up another one, they're all in good contractual standing. So at the very least, we will get 22 races. If those last two races get canceled, there we have a couple backup tracks. One of them that's leading the race is going to be in Italy, back in the president's hometown. I can't remember the name of that one, but that one's going to probably be the one that gets it, since there's another track that's coming back onto the F1 circuit next year. They kind of need the time to do renovations. So at the very least, we're going to get 22.
Yeah, Imola's the track. Previously been on the F1 calendar, got taken off for the Madrid race this year, and it lost its kind of F1 track.
I believe Madrid or Barcelona is open to a second race too, if needed, to fill this contract.
I guess it would be Barcelona. I also know, and I told you guys this before, my source is telling me that Vegas also doing a repeat race, you know, having two consecutive races
back to back in Vegas. I have heard it.
So that's out there as well too, because now you're just F1 just stays in Vegas, and if you get this, the Bahrain Grand Prix in Malaysia, okay, you're great there. You only got to make up one more. Just do run two straight races in Vegas. They don't have to do logistical stuff. You keep, you know, everything's already staying up in Vegas.
Because
they did that during the COVID year. You had two consecutive races, in, like the British Grand Prix. They raced twice in England and some other stuff just to fulfill. I forgot how many races they did in 2020, but like they've done, you know, multiple tracks like that year is my most recent memory of stuff during the COVID year. So, we'll see. I think, you know, if they're already engaging in conversations with like Imola, you know, Italy.
It's basically a done deal.
I can see that. It's already graded. You know, you probably will get, you know, the Italian fan base will show up. It's not as big as Monza. Monza's kind of like the
I mean, Kimi, you got a championship driver too.
Italian, maybe.
Well, the funny part in circles around this, like the Italians don't care about Kimi for the most part, because it's not Ferrari. Like it's Ferrari they care about.
Oh my god!
And so it's just like they're lying and they're living and dying for Ferrari. Like they don't care where the driver's from. They want
the car.
So if it comes down to the car, man, I've been telling them that for a while. They don't listen.
So if it comes down to Lewis v. Antonelli in Italy for the championship, they're gonna ride for Hamilton. Not that we're going to say, but we start influencing some results, because obviously Lewis gets a penalty every race. But if you had Antonelli versus Lewis to end it in Imola, I mean, that's a blockbuster, you know, season finale. You guys weren't watching F1 for the Abu Dhabi Verstappen-Lewis showdown when they were tied going into the final race that had all the controversy where Lewis got the 8th title stolen from him.
You know what, Jason?
This could be the makeup.
This break, you know, as we do like the baseball, you know, preview in the next week or so, we're going to have like a little slowdown before we get into football, because once football starts, we're going to be recording 2 or 3 times a week again. I will catch up on F1, watch Drive to Survive, whatever it's called on Netflix. I'll catch up on all the old races. That way I can have more context in what you're always talking about.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, Drive to Survive is a good cheat for that. I know you don't got Apple. I don't know if they get the full F1 TV. You can go back and watch old races on there. I got to check that, but I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere.
Real quick. I thought we were going to do like a 30-minute pod again. I always miscalculate.
We don't do 30-minute pods.
No, 30 minutes on LeBron. You know, if you're going to get me talking racing, I'm going to give you 30 minutes too. That's a quick hour. I don't know why you undersell our ability to talk.
With Norris.
Plus, there's a teaser going into this show too.
With Norris winning today, I really like the McLaren car. They're making like a lot of good adjustments. We have 12 races left, right, for the end of the year?
Presumably, yeah.
Presumably,
sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Over under Norris wins 4 more of those. Because I'm betting Norris wins at least 4 more.
You got to either say. Well, you got to go half number, right? I mean, going 4, you could get a push. Or you either, what are you going? 4.5? Are you really going to 4.5 or what? Or is it 3.5?
I think it's 3.5 then. Over under. Norris is going to go on like a little streak here in the second half when we come back. He's going to win quite a few races, get in the top 3, I presume, and put some pressure on both Hamilton and Antonelli for the Drivers' Championship, the close of the year. That's my prediction.
If you're telling me 3.5 you're setting it at, I would probably take the under. I just still think you got too much with Antonelli, too much with both Ferraris. I think Piastri's going to stick his nose in here. He was racy today as well, too.
He'll probably win one.
Yeah, so I think that's a little bit too much. I do think he'll definitely win some races. It's not a bad take, Rome, because, yeah, if he's going to make a stake to the championship being as far back as he does, he needs to go on kind of a run. Where are the tracks that he's going to go on a run at? Because if you think about last, it's going to be this September time. Because down the stretch last year, remember, like he was given points back to Max and Oscar, you know, and they're in that last run. Now, we're not racing in the Middle East potentially, and so it may not mean as much. You know, he got disqualified in Vegas for all that stuff going on. But that North American run,
I just think, you know, because he has a championship, he is driving a little more comfortably, not as nervous. He hasn't made dumb mistakes, it's just been like the car issues so far. They made the proper upgrades. He looked really good today. He's looked good all season long, just hasn't had the car to perform. I think now he has it. I think he wins. I'm going to say he wins 4 out of the next 12 races.
3.5 is a lot, Rome.
It is a lot. But that's my take, though. That's my take. I'm feeling really confident.
Norris, I'd go under as well.
I will put a bet on one of these platforms.
When we go to Vegas, we'll see if there's odds. I would pin it more at, I'd pin more realistically 1.5. Over under, if you can get something like that. That's because I agree with Jason. I mean, yeah, he's got the car right now. They made the upgrades. I mean, look, they made so many upgrades. They got intense grid penalty last time. But look, we got the summer break. Other teams are going to come back with upgrades. We'll see what happens with Russell. Ferrari's been quick all year. Piastri was good today. I would pin it more so at 1.5. If it was 1.5, I'd take the over. 3.5, I'd take the under. I think he probably wins at least 2.
Rome, we starting at Netherlands at the Dutch Grand Prix last year. Do you remember how many races Lando won from the Dutch Grand Prix to the end of the season?
I think he just won 2, actually.
Yep. He only won in Mexico and Brazil.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not to say that's a trend or anything. This is where Max went on a hot streak. Now, maybe he's Max this year. Maybe he's going on the hot streak.
You know, he's won the championship. He's not going to be driving the same way. It's a lot of pressure winning your first one.
I just think there's going to be more competition for these wins. I think there's still something left in the Ferrari. I think there's still something left with Mercedes because Mercedes has been the dominant car, but they're just tinkering with the damn thing every week. And, like, is it dominant? But it blows up. And, you know, then they got all these other things happening in races.
Well, it's 12 races. You even know. If he wins 4, there's still 8 others.
That's fair.
Mercedes could win 5 of those. Ferrari could win the other 3. And that's your championship.
Well, you also got Piastri.
I think the bigger question is, Rome. I mean, look, at the 3.5 is a great take. What driver would you take? Norris? Are the field to win the more of the remaining races? That's, I think, the big question here. Obviously, it seems like you like Norris if you're going to think he wins 4 out of the next 12. I would take the field.
I think Antonelli wins at least 2 more. I would do that bet. Everybody else is kind of weird, though. Like, Ferrari's having some weird things. I know he's been having some issues with game management. You know, they pitted the wrong tires, the wrong pit strategy. That's been happening all season long, ever since he went like a nice little streak to kind of kick off the season. But that's like Ferrari's like Achilles heel. Leclerc, he's in, he's out. Russell, he's in his own mind. Piastri, kind of like Russell, but not as mentally fucked in there. Verstappen's still going to be, you know, pestering everybody because he's a seasoned vet. And you know, he's allegedly like the best driver right now in the market. So I think it's going to be pretty fun. Like, but those... I would say everybody like in the top six is going to be pretty battling out between, you know, for podium. Maybe Piastri steals one. Maybe Hadjar. Maybe Lawson even steals a podium. You know, but I think it's going to be a fun finish.
Podiums would be stealing, but I think you're only getting wins. I think your race winners are basically they're going to be the top seven. I don't think Hadjar is going to be racing enough to be in there. I think Verstappen, a lot of these are his good tracks. Lewis got a couple good tracks in here. You know, he's won. What's he won? I mean, he's won five times at the Circuit of the Americas for the U.S. Grand Prix. He's won five times in Monza. He's won three times in Brazil. Hasn't won recently, but that's one of his favorite tracks. Leclerc's won the Italian Grand Prix in Monza before. George good in Vegas 2 years ago. So and there's a lot of different things. Not a bad take, Rob. I'm not hating on it. I just think there's a lot to like with the McLaren
that's
car.
All.
It's a
that's
good
all.
Take. I'm
taking
it. It's a bold take, man.
I'm going to be biased as hell. I told you. I think Antonelli's still odds on favorite to win it. I just think there's something here for Lewis. Lewis is dialed in. If he can win a couple of these races and make this thing competitive down the stretch. Yeah, the penalties is going to be the thing. But, like, I mean, I think the open air stuff, he's got to have good
if
Saturdays.
If the bet was Antonelli against the field, I would take the field right now as well.
I mean, yeah, he's got the advantage.
To win the
just
championship or to win the number of 12, to win the more races of the final 12?
The championship. I think drivers catch up and steal it at the end. I'm taking the field over Antonelli.
So that means you got to have Hamilton, right? I think Hamilton, like Jason's touching on, is the only one really. Like, Verstappen doesn't have the car. I think Lando and the McLaren's too far back. They just got off to a terrible start.
Not really. You got three wins and you're back in it.
I don't think you're going to get three wins.
But you need some DNFs from Antonelli. I mean, Russell and Hamilton are the two that's the closest right now.
All right. Any other wild takes? Any other feedback on like the new race that's being added to the schedule?
No, I'm looking forward to that one. I mean,
we have a break till August 23rd. That's when we'll be in Vegas, or maybe not.
We'll be in Vegas right after that race.
Right after that. Okay, nice.
I think the biggest news is going to be happening between now and that race is going to be, you know, this is the time of year where contracts are signed and they call it the silly season stuff, but this is when things start happening. So is Verstappen going to make a decision? You know, I think we talked about the second Alpine seat. I think that's probably one of the most coveted ones out there. If Kyle Pinto gets shown the door, Carlos Sainz, you know, hovering around it, Fernando Alonso hovering around that car. So I don't know. So I think there's seeing some breaking news potentially and some driver movement over the next couple of weeks.
It was a good week. It was a good week at the Hungarian Grand Prix for Aston Martin, 13th and 14th place, man. So the upgrades, man. They went from 19th and 20th all the way to 13th and 14th. So
nice,
hey, bro.
Whole new car. You didn't have any losing feeling in their hands.
That's a bold take there.
That's hilarious. All right. Before we go in the second half, how are you feeling about Hamilton, Jason? Does he win his ninth asterisk driver's championship?
It's very tough for me to go against Antonelli if you're just talking just from the favorite standpoint, because he is just up there every week. I think Lewis is the only one that can beat him right now. I'm losing faith week by week with George, but I think Lewis is the most dialed in. But again, like I said, it's got to be on Saturdays. Like he's got to get pulls. He's got to be on the front row, getting the Ferrari in the open air, them nail some of this pit strategy. Obviously, the penalties are kind of playing a part too, but they're taking some chances at Ferrari, which wasn't always the case. They'll usually take a bad strategy and have nothing behind it. They are taking some chances here and there. You know, they've done those the racy one with a couple stop strategy they did. They tried to replicate it the next week. It didn't work. But the car is racy. I just think open air in some of these tracks that doesn't have the regen on the battery and stuff is going to be really important. So it's going to be, you know, one of those qualifying runs. And that's where your Lando take, I think, holds some weight. Because Lando and Piastri are good on Saturdays. And so the McLarens that you looked at, you know, where they're at, a while back, like Oscar and Lando weren't great in some of these practice sessions. And all of a sudden on qualifying day, they're firing it up. And Lewis, he was slipping last year in qualifying. Done better this year, but has the better car. man, like you got me jazzed up talking Imola being the ending, because if you're going to write that script for F1 to get the most eyeballs, you have the next Prodigy versus the 7-time world champion in Italy, and making Italy choose a side between Ferrari and, you know, the Italian, you know, driver for Mercedes. Like, that's a good story. I mean, if you're fixing this thing, that's what you want.
It'd be nice. I don't know. A lot of potential here at the end. I know Antonelli has a big lead, but I think anything is possible. A couple DNFs.
Yeah.
Couple podiums.
The only way Antonelli doesn't win is if the car just continues to fail.
I don't like absolutes like that. That's dangerous. That's really in gambling.
So
I don't think it's locked up. It's not locked up like that.
No, I mean, it's not, because look, we've seen the power unit from Mercedes fail a number of times.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, when Antonelli, the power unit doesn't fail, he's been on the podium every time. He's won, what, 5-6 races already? I think Hamilton's there, but Rome, the dark horse is Lando. Can Lando continue to put together great races? And then we talk about the last race at the end. Will the champion have a chance to repeat, or will they already be out? Or will the greatest of all time have a chance for number 8? So there's a lot of good storylines there. I think those are the two best there to get there to knock out the 19-year-old phenom.
I think if there's a bet that I can do that's over 2.5, I would definitely take it for Lando. So, all right. Nice F1 section today. I really like it. It was good. It's good stuff.
1 hour pod talking LeBron and F1.
Amazing. Amazing.
Amazing. We've come a long way in 2 years.
Congratulations on Andrew Jones making the Hall of Fame.
Well deserved.
Carlos Beltran.
White Sox legend Andrew Jones.
Wait, what?
You played 1 year for the White Sox. I was like,
okay. I was like, wait a minute.
It was during that era when I was getting hyped up when they signed Andrew Jones, but he's not Andrew Jones anymore. And when they got Ken Griffey Jr. for like 3 months and he's not Ken Griffey Jr. anymore. I was always geared up for that as a White Sox fan. We had Manny Ramirez for a couple months.
Jeff Kent. I hated Jeff Kent, but I respected him. He was really good. By the way, Barry Bonds deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. Mark McGwire deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Sammy Sosa deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
I agree, Rome.
You cannot write about the history of baseball because everyone knows that
they
commissioner
saved baseball.
And
they
baseball
saved
turned
baseball.
A blind eye. We were all kids watching them hit homers. I think that's the only time I actually had a Giants hat was for Barry Bonds.
I think it's the last time we actually picked up a newspaper when a newspaper was a thing to see what was going on in the home run race.
Oh, dude, I loved it. That was good stuff. All right, so that'll do it. Source from the Sofa. We'll be back later this week with the second half baseball preview, talking about what's heating up. We'll get an update on Aaron and Jason's NL Fantasy Baseball League. Maybe we'll peek in on what's happening around the NFL training camps. Probably not, but we'll see what's happening. And then we'll kind of coast until we get ready for the NFL season, season 3 of Source from the Sofa. Digging it. Maybe we'll do a pod from Vegas as well. Hopefully Aaron doesn't hand over a couple hundred bucks to some random stripper on the sidewalk.
Hey, you're the one taking photos of him, Rome.
Son of a bitch.
I don't know what kind of deal you made.
Oh my god. I'm gonna do the stakes.
Be happy he's only $200 because he brought the hand over like $1,500 for the way you were typing in there.
Oh my god. All right. That'll do it. That's Rome, Jason, Aaron. We're out.